Brother William, if you can, I'm going to be talking tonight. So I've been going back and forth on what to talk about. I've been praying about it and just wanting to know. I studied last night and studied and studied and didn't feel right about anything. All I knew is that I wanted to kind of touch on what I touched on Sunday, or at least provide a little bit more of a practical lesson on it. And then I felt there was another topic I needed to talk about because I hadn't talked about it for a while. So tonight's going to be a little bit of mixture. You may recognize some of this material. We used to previously use it in our Discover Purpose class, changed it around a little bit, but I'm excited to get it going. Brother William, how about you go ahead and hand out those handouts? You should get two handouts. And really, the notes for tonight are kind of just an extra thing. So we may get to them. We may not get to them. Or like I said, it's going to be a little bit different. I am going to, at a certain point, talk specifically about tithes and offering. But I'd really rather not go through the notes. I'd really just, let's do a question and answer on this. So even right now, as you begin to consider, think through any questions you might have on tithing, offering, what it is, scripturally, what does it mean? Just anything you, any question you might have on it, I'd rather kind of do it like that instead of going through just my notes in a systematic way. But you do have the notes that you can take with you. So what everybody is getting right now, that first handout, we're actually going to start with this. It's called Calculating My Resources. How many of you know that God has called you for a reason? Amen. We talked about that on Sunday. God's given us something He wants us to do. And sometimes we don't consider and we miss all the ways that God can use us. We just miss it. Maybe we just don't consider it. Maybe we don't think we have anything to offer. Well, tonight, really, the main point is to settle this idea. You do have something to offer the Lord. And so what this is this is just a little thing, a little questionnaire to fill out so that you can say, you know what, I do have something to offer. Now, let me be clear. This is not for my benefit. You do not have to show it to me unless you want to. And I'd encourage you, if you feel like you find some things, come talk to me about it and say, hey, Pastor, here are some of the ways I think I can be a blessing to the church, and talk to me about it, and let's go through it that way. So I'm going to encourage you right now. Let's take about 10, 15 minutes. If you're joining us online, I'm so sorry. Hallelujah. But we are going to do this questionnaire, and go ahead. As I'm talking, go ahead and keep going through it. So a little bit of direction on it. Complete the evaluation on your own. This is all about you and your own resources, your own things that you have to offer. Even if the resource seems small and insignificant, please include it in this report. You never know how it might help the ministry. It may get tempting to stop after a couple of difficult questions, but keep going the best you can. I promise that you do absolutely have a lot to offer. So why about we take a minute right now and go through that. And if you have any questions, let me know. But let's all just take a minute and do this. If you are joining us online and you'd like to write down your own answers, if I haven't already lost you, I'll just go through the questions one by one. The first question is, what unique abilities do you have? Do you sing? Do you play an instrument? If yes, what type? Are you a people person? Are you good with computers? In what ways are you good with computers? Graphic designing, web designing, video, picture, editing, etc. That's the first question. It's a big question. That's the first question. Brother William, can you make sure she gets a handout? Thank you. The second question is, what is the highest level of education that you accomplished? If you attended college, what did you major in? Do you have education or training in a specific area that may be beneficial to the church? Have you attended a Bible college, special class, or lecture like Discover Purpose? So we're doing this questionnaire to start with. Again, this is not necessarily for me. It's just for us to consider all the ways that we can be a blessing to the church, all the resources God has given us that we may be able to turn around and benefit the church in some way. So if you want to show it to me after, you're welcome to. If you don't want to, that's perfectly fine. But it's more so just getting us thinking on all the ways that God could use us. Question number six, there's several questions on that one question. I would say, please just do the best you can to really come up with those numbers. And this is pre-fast, right? Those questions. So don't put your numbers of how much time you spend in front of the TV right now while you're fasting TV, right? This is meant to be your everyday life. And the point of that is so that you can see how much time you really do have, or maybe how much time we are wasting, right? Again, this is to calculate our resources. I give you about 5 more minutes, and unless it looks like everybody's done, give you just a couple more minutes there. All right. Well, feel free to continue to work on that as we go through. I hope that you can see the value in this exercise, just going through and reevaluating. I know a lot of us have been in church a long time, maybe been in this church a long time, but maybe there's just stuff that you never thought of that could be a resource to the church. I have a conviction. I know Brother Kavan has a conviction. He is our serve team's leader. He has a conviction of using everybody based on the talent that God's given them. And the point of this exercise is to say, God's given you stuff. He's blessed you with stuff. I'm the type, right? And I get that not everybody has this point of view, even Christians. Not every Christian does. But I believe that God has ordained my steps, that he has me on a path, and that includes the bad and the good, right? You think of the story of Joseph. And again, we're just going to kind of talk tonight, but you think of the story of Joseph, right? The story of Joseph, God had him on a path. And that path was leading him to be number 2 in Egypt so that he could save his family. But that path, it included betrayal. It included slavery. It included becoming a prisoner. And yeah, it also included a coat of many colors. And it also included exaltation to the second position. It included having an audience with Pharaoh, but it included some pretty ugly stuff as well. So the point is that your life, I believe, has been designed by God. And we talked about that on Sunday. Your life, my life, is designed by God. He has given us resources, whether they be emotional resources. And what that means is I've gone through this, therefore I can help somebody else go through it. Or whether it be, again, literal talent and abilities, talents that you can use for the church, expertise, knowledge and experience in different areas like accounting and things like that. All of those things, if you're only using it to benefit somebody else at your job, right, some boss at your job, then you are misusing the resources that God has given you. I'm not saying don't use it for that. I'm not saying you can't use those resources to maybe even benefit yourself and your own bottom line. But what I'm saying is God gave them to you for you to use for his kingdom and his glory. I think about how we talk about this a lot for people who are greatly talented in areas like singing and being a musician and stuff like that. People like Katy Perry? Is that the name? From what I've heard is that Katy Perry was once a Pentecostal, and she was once an avid churchgoer, if I remember correctly, her parents were pastors. She used to sing at church. But again, she recognized that talent, and then she stopped using it for the glory of God, and she became famous using it for her own benefit, and then, you know, the rest is, she went down a pretty dark path and all of that stuff. But the point is that we would look at that and we say, well, you know, God gave her that talent. Imagine if Katy Perry was our worship leader today. That's at least clothed. Imagine her clothed and our worship leader today, right? I mean, that would be a benefit because she's got a God-given talent. Now, maybe you don't have a God-given talent that's going to put you in front of the whole church, but maybe you do have a God-given talent that you can be used in front of the church or behind the scenes. Whether or not it's in front of the church or behind the scenes, it's still a God-given talent. And I have a conviction that I would use everything God's given me for His glory, not for my own. Hallelujah. I sometimes it sickens me that I have to use my administrative and managerial experience that I've obtained here to benefit somebody at my job, to benefit my boss's boss or whatever at my job. Sometimes that sickens me. Now, hey, I thank God He gave it to me. It's blessed me with a good job that I can go to every day. But at the end of the day, that's not why I have those things. I have been given those experiences to benefit the church. So we're talking about resources, what God has given us. Of course, one parable that comes to mind is the parable of the talents. I brushed up on this on Sunday, but let's just read through this parable, if you don't mind, Brother Kavan. Luke chapter 19, verse 12 through 27. And this is, it's quite a bit to read here, but says, he said, therefore, a certain noble went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. So essentially, this is what the Lord has done to us. He has given us, and it just so happens to be talents, does not mean talents here. It means a source of income, a type of income. Let's see. So it just says 10 pounds here, but it will go on to say talents. But the 10 pounds is a source of income. It's money. He gives to them money, and he tells them, occupy till I come. Use this money to benefit my bottom line, essentially is what he says. Right? Now, they could have taken that money and benefited their own bottom line, but that was not the expectation. The expectation is that he gave it to them so that they could benefit the master's, the nobleman's bottom line. Why? Because it was his money. If I give you money and ask you to do something with it to benefit me, that's not wrong. I'm asking you to benefit my kingdom. So I'm loaning you that money in order to do it. I'm the owner, you become the manager, right? And I'm entrusting you to manage my affairs, my resources. That is where we're at right now. God has given us things, and it's on loan to us. I don't own it. It's not mine. Hallelujah. It was given to me on loan by my master. Verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded his servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. He says, I've given you money. I don't expect you just to pocket those things. I'm coming back, and I want to see how you have profited my household, my kingdom. Hallelujah. That's the question today. How are you using your resources to profit the kingdom of God? He wants to know, how much have you gained by training? Then came first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. So what he had gained in the little bit, it determined what God would trust him with in the next phase of his life. We talked about that again on Sunday. I believe that this is an eternal principle. How we manage God's resources here in eternity. There's an idea that in eternity, we are coming back as kings and priests. And essentially, what we do right now is going to determine our position in the next life. When we come back as kings and priests. So again, that's very interesting. And I was actually listening to a podcast on the way over to pick up Brother Bob. And he was talking about this exact parable. And I wasn't even, yes, Brother Joy. I wasn't even listening for that point. I was listening just because it was something interesting and good, and it was giving me a lot of ideas for the church. But he brought this up, and he said, what's interesting here is we always think, like, if I do good with what he's given me, then I can just sit back and relax later. But no, actually, it's the opposite. He says, you've done really good with what I've given you. Here's more for you to be responsible for, right? Hallelujah. So we got to get into this mindset. Hey, I want to grow. I want to grow in my ministry. That's how you grow in your ministry. You want to know how to take a next step? You want to know how to take that next position or that next title or walk in that next level of authority and anointing? I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. This is how you do it. You show yourself faithful in the little things, right? He said, well, this is just a small little talent. Give it to the Lord and see what he can do with a little bit. Give it to the Lord and see what he can do with just a small amount. And by the way, Wilfred, he was right in clapping. I saw that. Hallelujah. Give it to the Lord. Verse 17. And he said, I feel like I'm always picking on Brother Wilfred while I'm preaching. I'm sorry, man. But you are very expressive. That's it. That's true. Yeah. Verse 17, and he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little. I love that. You've been faithful in a very little. I didn't trust you much, is basically what he's saying. I did not have much trust. At first, but you've been faithful in a very little. Have thou authority over 10 cities? I mean, wow, that's such a big point. I want to be faithful in a very little. In whatever little God's given me, I want to be faithful. I want to use it for him. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. I love that, again, he's not getting on their case. He's not slamming him. The other guy made 10 pounds out of one. You only made 5. It's because some of us are going to produce less than others. And that's perfectly okay, right? It's not based upon... what does the Bible say? We do the labor. He's in charge of the increase. So we do the labor. We just give what God has given to us. We give it back to him. You say, well, you know, all I'm doing is cleaning the church. I'm not praying people through or preaching on behind the pulpit or anything like that. That is still a huge thing to do and very important thing to do. And I can only talk about it because Aaron's not here today. He's sick. Praise God. He's the one who cleans the church. But again, that's a huge thing it is to do. So even if you feel like you're only benefiting a little bit, don't worry about that. Do the labor. Do the work. Let God deal with the increase. Hallelujah. He's going to produce increase where he wants to produce increase. I'll tell you, I get annoyed sometimes because I'll get up here and I'll preach and I'll, you know, drain myself and give it all I got and just wear myself out. And then I get down and I'm listening to a conversation and one person says one sentence to this person. Oh, man, I needed to hear that. I just preached for 45 minutes. Hallelujah. And you needed to hear that one thing. Hallelujah. And I get annoyed over it. I shouldn't, but I get annoyed over it. They're not wrong, though. Why? Because God brings increase how he wants to bring increase. I don't get to choose that. I just got to get up there and preach for 45 minutes. Yeah, you just have to say one line, but hallelujah. But it doesn't matter because the point is I just need to give my portion of the labor. I need to use the resources God has given me. And I pray that God will use you in the very little, right? Verse 21, for I feared thee because thou art an austere man. Oh, I'm sorry. I think I skipped a couple. Verse 20, and another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. I hid it away. It was gone. It was missing. Out of sight, out of mind. I didn't have to worry about it because I never brought it up. Right? I never talked to pastor about it. I never went to Brother Kavan and said, hey, you know, actually, I am kind of tech savvy. I never went and talked to Sister Meehan about helping out with kids because, you know, they can be a lot sometimes, even though I'm good with kids. And so you hide them away. I'm going to hide it in a napkin because I feared thee. He says, because thou art an austere man, thou takest up that thou layest not down and reapest what thou didst not sow. In other words, he's saying, I was afraid that I was going to misuse it, so I decided to hide it. That is worse. It's worse to hide it. It's worse to fear that you're going to misuse it. Look, every one of us at some point or another is going to mess up. It's a fact of life and it's a fact of ministry. I can't tell you how many times I've messed up in ministry. I've been doing this since I was 14. You better believe I have messed up a lot. And it's just a fact of ministry. So you can't use that. You don't allow yourself or convince yourself to fear messing up so you never take the plunge and do what God's called you to do. Verse 22, and he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. That seems pretty intense. All I did was I just did nothing. Doing nothing in God's eyes sums up to being wicked. Doing nothing in God's eyes is just as much as doing sin. What does the Bible say? He that knoweth to do good and do not do it, it is a sin unto him. Wow. I know God's called me. I know God's gifted me, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to use it. He called them a wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I lay not down and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou thy money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. At the very least, just let other people use that talent. And he said unto him that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath the 10 pounds? And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Don't let somebody else get your blessing. Don't surrender your blessing because you're too afraid to be used by God. Step out and let the Lord use you. Praise God. So we're talking about stewardship today. Stewardship. Anybody know what that word stewardship means? And specifically how it's different than ownership. Well, yeah, you need to do that to be a good steward. But what's the difference between stewardship and ownership? Anybody? Brother Kavan. Right, absolutely. I'm a part of a big company called Old Castle. You know that. I'm an office manager. I am a steward, a manager, but I am not the owner. I have been entrusted with the oversight of this branch, but I certainly can't walk around and say, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. Over inventory last week, we determined we had around $780,000 worth of inventory. I'm in charge of managing that inventory, but you better believe not a single cent of that $780,000 inventory is mine. I can't do with it what I want to. Today I had to reach out to my boss and say, hey, I'd like to do this with this resource. Because, again, it's not mine to make those decisions with. At the end of the day, we are simply just the managers of what God has given to us. We can't look at it like we are owners. We are stewards. Hallelujah. And here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 2 says. It says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I have to be faithful with what the Lord has placed into my hands. Faithfulness implies long continued and steadfast fidelity to whatever one is bound to by a pledge, duty, or obligation. In other words, I am bound to my responsibility of using this for the glory of God. I am bound to my responsibility of using what God has given me, not just to benefit myself, to benefit my boss, but to benefit the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you using your resources to benefit the kingdom of God? You can see there just a little graph, and hopefully, I don't know, I didn't get a chance to look at it. Hopefully you can read it. Just the different resources. Education, absolutely a resource you can use for the kingdom of God. Having education, I talked last week, I did a video for our group leaders, and I talked about a college class that I took that really enlightened me, and help me in church work. I even quoted one of my textbooks and how it helped me in my management of the church and my leadership in the church. Education can be a benefit. Again, it's not a necessity. You don't have to be highly educated to be used by God. I certainly am not highly educated. I'd like to When I become full-time pastor, my hopes and dreams is that I can go on for a master's degree and all that stuff. But right now, I'm not there. I'm not highly educated. But it can be an absolute blessing and resource for the Lord. Abilities. Again, singing, playing instruments, computer work, people ability, right? And things like that. These are benefits you can use. I had a kid in my youth many years ago. His name is Brian Finn. He's a cartoon character, isn't he, Brother Kevin? Come on. He's a cartoon character, a living, breathing cartoon character. He won, and this is not a lie, he won a talent show contest with all young adults, and all he did was do cartoon impressions. And he won the whole thing. It was pretty incredible. He's just very talented. But he came to me, he said, Brother Aaron, he said, I don't know. You keep talking about using what I've got, but I don't have anything. I don't have any talents I can use for the glory of God. I said, well, what do you like to do? What are you good at? He's like, I'm good at being a cartoon character. All right, well, yeah, that's something, I guess, you know. I don't know, maybe Elmer Fudd can preach the gospel too. Praise the Lord. And he said, I do like to draw. I do cartoons and draw cartoons and stuff. I said, that's awesome. We had a youth newsletter, and I started to have him make comic strips for the youth newsletter. Again, if you've got a talent, use it for the glory of God. Whatever it is, use it for the glory of God. Here's a big one, time. Time is a resource. Saturday, standing out there by the road, just holding a sign, might seem like you're not doing anything at all. But listen, it's time, and that's really all you need to be able to hold a sign, right? It's time. Committing your time to just holding a sign, inviting people to church, loving on people and encouraging people, that's all it really takes. Sometimes, if all you do is come to church and be involved in the church and spend time here every service, that's a huge blessing. Like, really, I hope you get involved in other areas and do other stuff, but if all you do is just take your time out of your week to be faithful to the house of God, that is a blessing, and it's a blessing to all of us to have you here. Another resource is relationships. Your relationships are resources. Again, who do you know? And it's not about just, you know, trying to get us money or anything like that, just simply about maybe you've got a resource. Brother Bob's been praying for us that we would get a mechanic in the church. Hallelujah. It hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. But it's true. We need a mechanic in the church because all of our cars are falling apart. And praise the Lord, it would benefit us greatly. Praise God. And I've been talking about for a few months now wanting to get a church bus or a church van. If you knew somebody who was a mechanic that'd be able to give us a good deal on stuff like that, then absolutely, again, just your relationships can be a benefit, a blessing to the kingdom of God. And then finally, finances. Finances is absolutely a resource that God has given us. I don't consider my finances as mine. I consider it His. Hallelujah. And I consider it that He's blessed me with it. And so I use it for the glory of God as much as I possibly can. Our finances is a resource that we can use for the glory of God. All right. It's late. I'm going to switch here. And I'm going to get on just this topic of finances. I've got a lot of notes there on the topic of tithing and offering. I really would rather not just read through these. What I'd like to do, I want to take maybe 15, 20 minutes here and just take some questions on tithing and offering. First of all, what is tithing? Tithing is a biblical doctrine that teaches us to give 10% of our income or increase unto the Lord. It is specifically to support the ministry. So again, I'd like to, if there's any questions, and I already presented, asked a couple people to ask specific questions, if they will, because I'd like to get a little bit more of a dialogue, not just me standing up here telling it to you, but have some real questions for this. Brother William, can I get you to get a microphone and you can run around for me and allow people to ask questions? That way people can hear online. All right, anybody got a question? Yes, Sister Diane.
I was praying to the Lord about this, about tithing. So my question to you, Pastor, is what is the difference between Old Testament tithing and New Testament tithing?
Very good. So there's quite a few verses, right, in the Old Testament that talk about tithing. So I do have here a history of tithing. Let me very quickly kind of sum up some of the history of tithing. What I know you'll hear a lot of if you YouTube this, right? I'm telling you, YouTube is filled with junk. I'll just tell you that right now. They're filled with sound bites. If you have an opinion on something, you're going to find a lot of people who have that same opinion. So it's you'll find a million videos talking about how tithing is not a New Testament idea or principle. They will say that tithing is specifically the law, right? The law did clarify tithing. It helped to help people to understand the specifics of tithing. However, tithing was there way before the law was there. We see that Abraham tithed in Genesis chapter 14. It also tells us he tithed in Hebrews chapter 7 to Melchizedek. We see that Jacob tithed. And let me also say this, another big thing. I hope I don't just answer every question right now. But another big thing you'll hear is, well, the Old Testament, tithing in the scriptures were only for livestock. Well, of course it was for livestock. That was the means of currency in that day. So tithing was purely, it was used in that day based upon the currency. But if you look at Abraham, Abraham didn't pay per livestock. It said he gave 10% of all that he had. Absolutely everything. So again, it's not narrowed down to simply just livestock. That was simply the currency of that day. Our currency today, if you're a farmer and you raise cattle, you can bring me the tenth of your cattle. Right? I mean, of course that's a joke, but I have had people bring me the tenth of their fruit from their tree, right? Because, again, I'm not saying you have to do that, but what I'm saying is the idea is whatever is benefiting me, my growth, my salary, my increase is then being tithed on. So Abraham tithed to Melchizedek before the law. Jacob tithed to Melchizedek before the law. We do see it in the New Testament as well. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 5 through 8. Two different places where it talks about this topic. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 5 through 8. Now remember, this is past, it's long past Jesus going up into heaven. This is likely Paul. We don't know exactly who was writing the book of Hebrews. Likely Paul, and he is describing the tithing of that day. Verse 5, and he talked about Abraham tithing earlier on in the chapter. It says, and verily they that are of the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. That is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham, And he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promise. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here, this is the key verse right here. Here men that die receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. So this is in the present tense. It's not in the past tense. It's in the present tense, indicating he's saying currently, right now, they're receiving tithes. Now, there is a lot in the Old Testament that the New Testament did not go into detail on, because the New Testament wasn't meant to replace the Old. It was meant to finish, fulfill it, but not replace it. So even though we may not see a full description and layout of tithing in the New Testament, see here, they were still practicing it. Let's look at another passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 through 14. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 through 14. Now, let be upfront. It does not say tithe in this passage of Scripture, but you can see the comparison of what was being brought to the temple for the Levites and the comparison of doing it to New Testament pastors and leaders. It says in verse 7, who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? So what he's doing here is he's settling a principle that if a minister is preaching, benefiting, helping, instructing, praying people through the Holy Ghost, teaching Bible studies, doing all these things, he is investing in you. That is his livelihood. Just as a shepherd would live off of the flock, therefore the minister would live off of the flock, right? I don't. And let me be clear, I'm not teaching this because I do. Anybody know how much money I take from the church? Zero. Big zero. I don't take anything from the church currently. I'm not teaching this to get me rich. I'm teaching this because I'd like to at some point quit my job and be able to go full-time for the church. But right now, I'm not doing that. So I'm not teaching this for that. I'm teaching this so that we can understand this godly principle. Verse 8, these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? So there's a connection. I am saying this. The law also describes it. Verse 9, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. In other words, don't take the food away from the ox if the ox is treading the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Verse 10. Or saith he altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt that it is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. So in other words, he is investing in these things, and he's just trusting that God's going to provide through the plowing, through the field. He's going to provide the resources in order to maintain his livelihood. Verse 11, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? There it is. He's saying if we're investing the spiritual things, this is the mindset that the spiritual leaders would then reap the carnal things, the finances, the resources, the livestock, if that's your currency, whatever it may be, whatever the carnal thing is in your increase would receive it. Verse 12, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? You know what he's talking about here? He's talking specifically about the priesthood and the Levites. He's saying they have exercised this power by demanding the tithe according to the law. If they have the right to that, Shouldn't the New Testament preachers and pastors and leaders also have that? Shouldn't they also be benefited in the way that the Old Testament priesthood and Levites were? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. In other words, he's saying, we don't walk around demanding it. The Levites would demand it. They wouldn't let you do anything until you brought your tithes and your offering. He says, New Testament, we don't do that. We teach it. We communicate it. But we don't sit around and say, hey, you know, I'm going to bar the door. You're not allowed in until you pay your tithes. We don't do that. Why? Because we're not, I don't live off of you. I live off of God and whatever God provides. And if he uses you to provide for me, then praise God. Right now, he's using Old Castle to provide for me and my family. And I thank God for that as well. Look at this. Where am I? Verse 13. Do ye not know that they which minister about the holy things live of the things of the temple? This is talking about the Levites and the priesthood. They are living off of the tithes and the offerings that are being brought into the temple. And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Again, they are benefiting from those things. Verse 14, even so hath the Lord ordained they that which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. If it was done unto the Old Testament priesthood and Levites, he is saying it's a different altar, right? It's a different function. It looks different, but it should be done with the same amount of reverence and care in the New Testament as it was in the Old Testament. Does that make sense today? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So he's saying those who live to preach the gospel should live off of the gospel. One of these days, I'm going to quit my job, and I'm just going to say, sayonara, hallelujah. And I'm going to live off the gospel, and I'm can't wait for that. So again, I don't teach this for that point, but to teach it because I tithe. I do it as well. It is a principle of the Word of God that brings great blessing. And I have seen that over and over again, how that it brings great blessing to our lives. My wife and I tithe. It's the first thing that comes out of our paycheck. It's the very first thing that comes out of our paycheck. We've never not tithed. And that's been my wife. She has got even more convictions for it than I do. Hallelujah. But she's never not tithed. All right, any other questions? Yes, William.
So if you were, say, to not be able to give any tithes or money to the church, would there be a way to replace that for God, or would there just not be a way? Would you have to tithe? And what way would it be if there was?
All right, so you're saying, say you don't have a job, right? And instead you do school all day, right? So this idea is that it would be based on your increase, the increase of finances. So what I have coming in, that is what I tithe on. If you do not have anything coming in, then there would not be an expectation that you would tithe on it. Now, if you've got money that's sitting around that you've never tithed on, I'm not saying anybody has to do this. I'm just going to put this out there, though. I did hear of a man who backslid. It was something like 10 years he backslid. And when he got back into church, God convicted him. Nobody asked him to do this. Nobody told him he had to do this. But God convicted him, and he actually went calculated every cent he had made the last 10 years. And he went and tithed on it and gave it to the church. Now, again, I feel the Holy Ghost on it. I'm not telling anybody you got to do that. But what this is this is, what does the Bible say? We got to be joyful givers. This isn't me being here stingy with my money, putting it in my pocket. I truly believe that's the idea behind it, too. I don't think it's just for the benefit of the leaders. I think it helps us. The Bible says what? The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. It's the love of money. How do I keep myself from letting the love of money take root in my heart? Well, I'm generous. And I give it to the Lord. And I don't hold on to it and hold it away. So, but William, to answer your question, you wouldn't have to tithe if you don't have things coming in. However, there's other ways you can give, right? And we've already talked about the other resources. So tithing and financial resources, that's only one way. But we can give of our time, you know. Every day we give our time to prayer. And
like playing the drums like I do and being an usher, that would be ways if you didn't have any tithing or even like media or cleaning or something else like that. That would, if you didn't have any tithing, that would just, like, that would count, you know? Like,
well, yes, that counts as you giving your resources to the Lord, absolutely. Yeah. Any other questions? Okay, Sister Camille, why don't you go ahead, and then we'll get to you, Bob.
So if a person took their income and decided to sow into, like, homeless people on the street, or just bless random people and consider that a tithe, is that acceptable?
In my opinion, no. So there's a difference between the tithe and the offering. Offerings are free will. Offerings, we're commanded to give an offering, but the Bible never puts a number on it, never puts a percentage on it, never gives any kind of idea as far as that's concerned. It's just a free will offering. So if you want to give money to the poor, give money to the poor. Thank you, Jesus. You know, that's an offering as unto the Lord to them. However, tithes specifically were given to the church or to the temple to benefit the priesthood and the Levites. That was solely the purpose of that place. What is it? Malachi, he says, bring your tithes unto the storehouse. The storehouse was the place that I am getting my nourishment from and my feeding from, right? So in my opinion, I tithe where I go to church. I tithe where I have a preacher who knows my name, who preaches and ministers to me, who calls me, who, you know, I go to that church and I'm going to tithe on that storehouse because that's the place I'm being fed. That's the place and I'm being accountable to that man of God. And that's the place I tithe and I consider. But I would not consider my tithes that. So in that regard, let me also say this. There is a difference between tithes and offerings. That's why we do the envelopes, right? Because we want to know. Now, right now, everything is being pulled. Everything's just being put in the same bucket. We don't have enough offering to keep the lights on. So we have to use tithes to keep the lights on and things like that. But in time, as tithes and offerings will grow, and as we grow, it'll become more and more necessary for there to be a difference, right? The offering would go to the benefit of the church, keeping the lights on, paying the rent, and things like that, whereas the tithe would specifically go to the ministry. Now, this is not necessarily biblical, but I'll give you a little insight into modern-day finances, church finances. We do have in our bylaws a limit on how much I could take. So even if we do get to a point where we are, you know, 1,000 members strong, there's a limit to how much I could take. Some preachers probably don't have that. But there is a limit to how much I could take from the church. And so what we would do then is we would start a tithing account. We would use that account to pay other people. So if we had another minister, we would hire them. Again, we're kind of stuck having to do that according to our bylaws and according to governmental rules and things like that. But that's how we would use tithing going forward. We would also use tithe to pay preachers coming in. So if we have a preacher come that Sunday, we would use the tithe to pay them. Because solely the tithe were used to benefit the minister and those who are working at the altar. Yeah. Sure.
Are there consequences to not tithing? And if you are able to and don't tithe, is that considered stealing from God?
Great questions. I'm guessing you probably already know the answer to that question since you're asking. But let's bring up the verse of scripture that you're referencing there. This is in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. I also referenced this earlier. It says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." That is the benefit of tithing, right? There is a blessing. Look at verse 11. "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." You know that thing that keeps just stealing your money? That thing that it just seems like you just can't keep it in your pocket? Let me find it real quick. I apologize. I don't have the brain, right? My brain doesn't work like that. But Haggai chapter 1, verse 2 through 6, it actually talks about holes in the pockets. And it basically says you have holes in your pockets. Every time you put money in, it's like it just flows right back out. You can't hold on to your money. And his solution to them was to pay their tithes and offerings unto the Lord. And that's Haggai chapter 1, verse 2 through 6. But let's read this. He says, "I will rebuke the devourer for your sake," that thing that keeps destroying your blessing, your benefits, your increase. "He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed." I think actually, so that's the blessing. But if we go back to verse 8, Malachi 3 and 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." Verse 9, "Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." That's pretty heavy. That's heavy stuff. Again, so I'm not God. But according to this, there is a blessing to tithes and giving an offering, and there's a cursing. Also in Haggai, he talks about the fact that they were not giving to God, they were not giving their tithes and offerings, and they were building their own houses. And that's what brought the cursing. They were investing everything in their own benefit. This is my opinion. Give to God first. Give to yourself second. Then give to your bills. Don't give to your bills and then see what's left. I had somebody tell me that. They said, "You know, Pastor, what we do is we pay all of our bills, then we pay all of our groceries, then we go have a little bit of fun, we do all this stuff, and then we look at what's left, and that's what we tithe on." So no, you got it all flipped around. You need to pay God first, pay yourself, save your money. I almost did a lesson tonight more so on that, in that regards, financial, being a good steward of finances in that sense. Maybe I'll still do it next week if that's something you're interested in. But again, pay yourself first. Don't pay everybody else. Don't be more faithful to them than you are your own saving account. Don't put everything in your savings either and ignore your bills, but pay yourself first, then pay everybody else. All right, Brother Bob, real quick, we'll try to get just one more question. I think I need to rebuke that clock right now in Jesus' name.
Well, I'll tell you something. I never tithed before. I started tithing. Then I went into the hospital for all that time. God blessed me and paid all the bills. And if I had the bill to pay, I'd probably have a heart attack and die right now. Give everything to God, because there's no way you can outgive God.
Yes. Absolutely. That is absolutely true.
Amen.
No way you can outgive God. Let me any last-minute questions? Brother Victor, all right. Uh-oh, we got a couple of them. Listen, if we go long, it's your guys' fault now, okay? That's why I do this, because I keep getting blamed. But if we go long, it's your fault. Brother Victor.
Mine's more towards a new saint, all right? I know someone who gave until they didn't have anything. They couldn't feed their family. They came into Christ, and they were, like you said, came back into the church knowing, you know, hey, I owe God, right? And so knowing that in a good steward fashion, you know, doing the right thing, when is it unbeneficial to the family? Because this person had a family, had kids and a wife and bills to pay, but didn't recognize that being a good steward was also, like you say, paying yourself. So they came in with an idea in the mind that there was consequences. And nobody guided them. And so where does the ministry come in and say, hey, look, you know, I mean, when could, like, there are certain people, like you say, you sign them up, they get baptized. You know, does that become a part of the responsibility of the ministry? Or is that just let them roll? Let them go ahead and, you know, there's consequences of their own because they gave up all their money, all their funds, and now they can't pay their bills because they, in their heart, they feel that, you know, God's going to bless them anyway.
So I think it's the responsibility of the ministry to inform them of this, right? I don't know how far it has to go, but this is why I prefer the reason I'm doing this is because it's been over a year, and who knows how long it's been since I've actually taught on tithing here in this setting, in this type of way. Because this is why I did it in this way, because I don't think that this should be just this is what the Bible says, and, you know, there should be more communication on it. The fact is, right, you got this water bottle. You can only fit so much water in this water bottle. Problem is most of us are overflowing as it is with bills. That's why we can't tithe. So if you're going to obey Scripture, you're right. There's going to need to be a process of emptying some things before you can add a little bit more. So you're not going to be able to just start tithing right away. You're going to have to find a way to cut down some of those bills. Maybe you got to get rid of Netflix or, you know, Amazon or something like that. You know, it's a capacity issue at that point. And most of the time, especially new people who have a hard time with this, it is because it's a capacity issue. People these days, Americans are living well above their means. And that is not good stewardship. So absolutely, I think stewardship comes first, where we need to know how to be good stewards of our money. And then, again, in that process, we apply the principles of tithings and offerings. And I think the church can benefit, can help to benefit people in giving more of that teaching and helping people with that. Absolutely. And we have done financial classes before. Like I said, I think I'm, especially based on this conversation, I'll probably do one, if not next week, we'll do one in the next couple weeks, where we will give just some practical biblical advice on that exactly. Sister Mean, I believe Brother Kavan had his hand up. Go ahead, Brother Kavan. You're loud. Can you borrow your tithes and pay it later? That is definitely between you and God. I will say again, and I've said this quite a bit, I don't come up behind people and say, hey, where's your tithes? We do expect that if you're in any kind of leadership capacity in the church, that you are paying your tithes, right? That is an expectation. Just like there's an expectation of having holiness and you're living for God. That's a form of holiness. So, but we still don't come up and say, hey, why aren't you doing this? Why are you, you know? So we don't come up and do that. This is between you and God. This isn't about you and me. If you don't pay your tithes, then you're not going to have issues with me. You're going to have issues, much bigger issues than with me. So that's between you and God. I would not advise it. The Bible actually says here, and let's read it. What priority should I place on tithes? Deuteronomy 26:2. And this is just as much of a command as tithing is right here. Deuteronomy 26:2, that thou shalt take the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. In other words, your first fruits. That's why I said over and over again, give God the first. It's the first thing that comes out of the bank account after you get paid. We've got it, if I understand correctly, we've got it on automatic payment, right? You can set up automatic payment through, what is it, our website? If they wanted to set up automatic payment, how would they do it? Well, we could certainly figure it out for you. If you are salary and you've got consistent pay, that might be a benefit to you. If not, obviously, you know, it won't. But, yeah. Sister Meehan, did you have a question? Okay. Any other questions?
Can we, like, split our tithes, like, for other stuff, like, for missions or for building funds or for, you know, one of the other stuff?
So this goes back to the question Sister Camille asked. I do not believe so. Again, and there's actually scripture for that exact thing. Exodus 35:21, it says that they brought their offering to the house of God, because there was a certain thing, there was a building program that they were passionate about. So if you're passionate about a ministry or an area of the church that you want to give financially to, that is perfectly okay. Absolutely do it, but it would be an offering, not a tithe. The tithe does not go to different ministries. It goes specifically to the leadership, the pastor. Again, right now it goes to everything, but the mindset is that it would go towards the leadership, the pastor. So, in other words, think of it this way. I'm not saying this to make it sound like it's me, but in a certain way, I am donating the tithes back to the church, right? And again, that's not saying it's anything benefiting me or that I'm not praising myself for that or anything. Just saying, in essence, that tithe is mine. It is the family. It is the leaderships of the church, the priesthood of the church. But we are allowing the church to keep it in order to keep the lights on and things like that. So, Did you have a question?
Yeah.
Here's the leg for you. The leg for you. All right, any other questions? All right, there is one other point that I'd like to make. When it comes to tithes and offerings, there's something that's more important than the action itself. What is, when it comes to giving tithes and offering, what is more important than the action itself? Yeah, absolutely. Brother Victor, he nailed it on the head. He said to be a cheerful giver. So just as important as the action is the attitude. So if I'm just upset about it, angry about it, you know, coming down, I throw it in the offering plate and, you know, and all that stuff, then listen, you're not benefiting anything. Brother Bob just said it. God doesn't need your money. He owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's all his. We've been in worse places than we are now or have ever been in, and God's provided. He doesn't need it. It is an attitude thing. I want to give cheerfully unto the Lord. All right. God bless you. I know it's late, so thank you for being part of this. Again, if it's going to benefit you, we will not talk about tithing specifically, but we'll talk about finances again and go through some teaching on biblical stewardship of our finances. I think it'll be a blessing. God bless you. We are dismissed. See you Friday. Amen.